You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou. forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
From days of long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend. The legend of Voltron, defender of the universe. A mighty robot, loved by good, feared by evil. As Voltron's legend grew, peace settled across the galaxy. On planet Earth, a galaxy alliance was formed. Together with the good planets of the solar system, they maintained peace throughout the universe. Until a new horrible menace threatened the galaxy. Voltron was needed once more. This is the story of the super force of space explorers. Specially trained and sent by the Alliance to bring back Voltron, Defender of the Universe.
Two Guests Beyond. This is episode 70 of the show. This is a brand new year, 2017. I am, of course, TFU on Mike, and I believe this is his first time making his debut here on Tooncast Beyond is Joe Reed. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
I am well. It's good to be back on mic, and wait, that sounds dirty. It's good to be on microphone with you again.
There you go. I was going to say.
How about that?
Yeah.
This is exciting being on a new show.
Yes. And so basically, everybody already knows this, but Joe doesn't, so I'm just going to give him a little history lesson here. 2009, when we started the network, roughly around, I think it was probably the same day we started it, I launched what is now called Tooncast Classic, and we talked about all kinds of various cartoons for 100 episodes of a podcast, and we covered the gambit of anything and everything. And I ended it in 2011 and started this show to continue it on to talk about cartoons from the year 2000 to whenever now is. So the original Tooncast was pretty much anything from our childhood, anything before 1999, and now this one is anything from 2000 to, like I said, whenever now is. So in the process of doing this, originally it was broken up into seasons. We get two seasons of Tooncast Beyond. One was a superhero season, the other was a DreamWorks spotlight. The DreamWorks spotlight killed me. People go back to listen to some of those DreamWorks episodes. Oh my god, some of those movies are just horrible. Flushed Away, a few other ones I can think of. So I needed to reformat it, and the way I thought I could do that was to do seasons, and to do seasons of shows, and it didn't matter when the show was or whatever. We would go back and do whatever, but we would do it in a season format. And we've been doing that since about episode 60 or so, episode 61, I think. We still do the animated movies and things like that. We'll have Inside Out and Home and Minions and Despicable Me 1 and 2 and all that later this year.
Ready to form Voltron! Activate interlocks! Dinotherms connected! Infracell up! Mega thrusters are go!
So I figured with this one we'd do it all in one go. We're going to be talking about Voltron, Go Lion, no not really, the third or fourth incarnation of Voltron, I forget which one, how many...
It's hard to count.
Yeah, so we know that Go Lion was the original Japanese anime, that then became, here in the US, Voltron in 1984. After that series ended, there was, I think, Voltron... Vehicle Force Voltron, and then there was
which was actually a different cartoon that they put, you know, they redid it Voltron, and then they paid for an episode where they animated the two separate cartoons together so that they could have a movie here in the US with the two Voltrons together, which I've never seen.
Yeah, that was it Legion of Doom or no, that's the Super Friends thing. It was I forget what the Voltron movie is actually called, and I should be looking it up, folks, I know, but it's, we're recording this at like 9:30 on a Sunday, so 9:30 in the morning on a Sunday, but whatever. After that, I think it was Voltron of the Third Dimension, and then there was Lion Force, or Voltron Lion Force, which was a couple of years ago, and now through DreamWorks and Netflix, we have Voltron Legendary Defender is the new
Finally
series.
A proper Voltron. So I grew up between Transformers and Voltron. That's really what my very early childhood was about. You know, 4, 5, 6 years old. That's when these shows were coming on.
Right.
And the giant robot thing. I guess that was a thing. But then they could hook together, and that was neat. And so it's one of the fondest parts of my childhood between Transformers. And Voltron, and then later, you know, and then early 90s Ninja Turtles. That's like, that's what I grew up with right there.
Yep.
And what has always stayed with me.
Yeah, absolutely. People would have heard, as I said in the beginning of the show, before we came on, because we're talking about Legendary Defender, I do have the Legendary Defender theme in there, but we could not do a Voltron show and talk about this franchise and this series without me putting the original theme in from John Peterson, with the Peter Cullen voiceover, because that is
days of long ago.
Because that is just epic. And I was wondering if they were when Legendary Defender was first announced, I was wondering if they were going to get Peter Cullen back to do a new voiceover, and they didn't. And I'm kind of disappointed about it, but I'm kind of all right with it now, because the music for this series is its own thing, and you don't really need that voiceover on the theme song and the intro. It would be great if we had it, but that was just.
Yeah, I think with this series, they're really portioning out the origin story, and I think if they gave us that voiceover that did the similar thing, we'd learn too much that they would rather kind of spread out over three or four seasons. The one of my biggest gripes with the show, I hate starting on a negative because I absolutely love the show, but we are missing a soaring, triumphant Voltron theme song, and there are two things that I think really define Voltron. One of them is that theme song, which I think, I don't know, would hold up, might fit. Maybe not as the theme to the show, but the theme whenever Voltron starts kicking butt, like, oh, I miss it.
Yeah.
And then something else that we'll bring up later. but I think this show is missing a theme song like that.
Yeah. I mean, it has a theme song. It has some music. As I was watching through season one and season two again before, well, actually season two just actually came out 2 days before we recorded this, but I went back and I watched through some of the season one episodes again, just to kind of see where the music fit, and the music does fit. It's just not like if a few years ago, this is maybe, well, actually, it was a lot of years ago now, probably 2009, 2010. On the Voltron website, they released a CD soundtrack for the original 1984 cartoon series by John Peterson.
Oh, wow.
And on that, they have multiple versions of the theme. They have the theme without Peter Cullen's narration, they have the theme with Peter Cullen's narration, and then they have, it's like 50 tracks of all the music from the original cartoon series back in the 80s. And that music is just a little bit more cool than the music in Legendary Defender.
Well, it's a lot of it is iconic in that kind of John Williams way. Mm-hmm. And I think the, I don't know, whoever the music director, whoever the person, not the composer, but whoever's directing that composer is saying, okay, we want your music to be totally subtle. We want it to absolutely disappear into the background. And it's really kind of depressing. And I remember the old series, whenever they do the establishing shot of Castle Doom, there'd be this, this kind of weird chime, and then this droning noise. And that was missing from the first season. Season two, I noticed every time they'd go do the establishing shot of Zarkon's ship, there'd be some similar tone like that. Like, it kind of crept into season two.
Yeah.
That was interesting to notice, and it had that same kind of ethereal, sinister, evil kind of just noise.
Yeah.
But still not what it needs to be to kind of really be something that I will whistle walking up and down the street, you know.
Yeah, very, very true. The opening theme for Legendary Defender is done by someone named Alex Geringas. I've never heard of the guy. And the actual composer for the series is Brad Breek for Legendary Defender. Season one, going back to it and watching it again, and I didn't watch all 10 of the episodes for season one. I watched, I don't know, 3 or 4 of them just to kind of catch up my memory before starting season two. Like, obviously, I went back and I watched the last episode of season one just to...
Brilliant episode.
Yes. In season one, when you first saw season one, what were your initial thoughts after watching it?
Well, this has been... The whole series has been a really neat thing for me because I grew up watching it at about 6 years old. And when my son is 4 and 5 and 6, we were watching some of the old Voltron shows. I'd, you know, look them up on YouTube, and we'd watch one, and it's big combining robots, so he thinks it's the coolest thing. And then all of a sudden we find out that Voltron's coming out, a new Voltron by Netflix, where we watch all of our TV. And so this has really been the first kind of property that my son has seen the original, like I have, and now gets to see a reboot. and then we get to complain about it together. And we get to be geeks about it together. And we get to be excited about it. I mean, excited first, and then we get geeky about it.
Yeah.
And so it's very fond memories of watching it. I think just like when I look back at the anime, when I was a little guy watching it, it was the best thing ever. And I loved the mice, and I loved the nanny, and I loved Karan, and I loved all the humor, and I loved the characterizations. When I go back and watch it as an adult, I go, oh my God, nanny's obnoxious. The princess is a helpless girl in pink who says all those horrible things that men writers put in her mouth. And it's really dated and ugly. And so it didn't hold up. Mm-hmm. The things that are similar to that in the Legendary Defenders show, my son thinks are great. Lance and his over-the-top humor, he just thinks it's the best. And Karan with all the freak-out stuff that he does, like that anime character in every anime that annoys the tar out of me, he thinks it's great. So it's neat to watch him enjoy everything, mm-hmm. and then I get to, in my head, gripe about those little tiny things that bother me.
Yeah,
but what the series has done really well is that it's pulled that magic meets technology thing together, and I think they've even brought in some, I don't know, what I think we conventionally call the spirit, they call it quintessence,
mm-hmm.
the soul, and how those things come together to make the magic of Voltron. It's why the Voltron robot is special. It's because it's a combination of all these three things. And so they're always divvying out, you know, he's a little more powerful as the pilots gain affinity for the lions, they grow a little more powerful. I'm just kind of fascinated in that kind of, I don't want to say storytelling, but when a writer has a story to tell kind of in that area, it's like, oh yes, tell me more of this fake mythology and technology that doesn't exist. I like seeing into people's imagination like that.
Yeah. When I watch season one, there's all kinds of nitpicks that I pull out because of loving the original show in the 80s, and I can still go back to the original show and enjoy it for what it is. Yeah, you're right. There are a bunch of nitpicks that in Legendary Defender, they basically took the nanny character and Karan character and made them one character in Legendary Defender, and Karan bugs the hell out of me in this series. He is so annoying.
Oh, gosh, so bad.
And it gets worse in the episode, well, we're not there yet, but in the season two episode where they keep stuck in the time loop and he keeps de-aging, and I'm like, oh, God, it gets worse and worse and worse.
I didn't hate that as much as I should have.
But as I watched through season one, I really enjoyed the story, how they kind of turn the story on its head just a little bit to create their own thing. They're not really retelling the original cartoon story. They're telling it in a way that is going to bring people in, like the fact that Pidge is actually a girl in this series. That was interesting.
That was a fantastic change.
Yeah.
Super stellar. And all right, well, I don't know if we're spoiling it. No spoilers here. If you've even looked at the old show, you'll kind of know what's going on. I think, and it hasn't happened yet, folks, so definitely not a spoiler, but I think Shiro's going to die. I mean, like, actually die.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, so anyone that's lived under a rock for the last 30, almost 40 years, in the original Voltron, in the original Gold Lion, Sven dies in the anime. In the 84 series, they didn't kill him. They made it look like they killed him, but they sent him off somewhere, and he comes back later in the Lion Force series from the 80s. Here, they keep teasing it and giving him this slow burning final destination kind of thing. And I really hate comparing Voltron to anything Final Destination, because those movies are horrible. But yeah, they keep teasing the fact that Shiro may or may not die, which is really going to suck, because that's Josh Keaton as the voice of Shiro, and I've interviewed that guy, and he is awesome, and yeah, Josh deserves to be on that show.
Well, I thought when that was come out, and who's this Shiro guy with a scar across his face? Like, where's Sven? Why is he piloting the black, and Keith's in the red lion? I know his outfit's red, but anyway, you know, weird things like that. I thought I was going to hate Shiro, and he ended up being one of my favorite characters. He's the most mature and old, mm-hmm. and I appreciate being able to actually relate to a character, not like Lance, who's just an idiot. So I ended up really liking him, and I like watching him go on the journey. And I after the last episode, no spoilers here, I think I know what they're going to do with him. And it also makes sense as to how eventually we might get to the Voltron team that was the old show. You know, Princess is in a leg, and Keith's in the Black Lion.
Yeah. Well, but, everyone...
Without killing him off, I think we can get there.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure they could. Well, in the old show, in the original 84 show, they had Keith, Sven, Hunk, Pidge, and Lance.
Mm-hmm.
And Sven was the black uniform and the blue lion, and Keith was the red uniform and the black one. The colors were all mixed up and everything. And people are like, why don't they match? Why don't they this? Why don't they that? Honestly, I don't even really care.
Yeah, it never bothered me. I guess it upset me aesthetically as a kid, but not really. I wonder maybe if in the Japanese series they did match, because like once they're inside the lion, it's not like you can tell. Well, no, they show them outside with their lion, so I guess that does make sense. And the color of their, so yeah, okay, so yeah. It does really match. But they fixed that in that other DreamWorks Voltron where they all had the right color uniform in their lion, which is interesting. But you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I like what they've done in matching the uniforms like that, and it's going to make sense now as to why. If they don't change uniforms but do change lions, everybody's going to end up where they were in the old series.
Right, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Born Voltron!
There are spoilers here, folks, so you know you're gonna have to stop the podcast and listen after you watch season two. But season one left off with a pretty big cliffhanger, with them, you know, not really knowing, you know, us not really knowing if they're gonna make it out of the battle there. And then, you know, so we start season two, and of course we find out that they did make it, and. We, you know, this is the wormhole trip because this is the episode where, first episode Across the Universe is where Hagar uses her magic to whack out the wormhole there, which is a little strange. And what I find interesting is the first season has 11 episodes, and then the second season has 13.
Wow, people liked us. Let's give them more episodes.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I think season two is a much better written part of the show. Season one was written well. The story flowed well and everything else, but the season two stories, they all had an interconnected plan. I think by the time episode 4 or 5, when they finally figured out, oh, hey, let's come up with this plan to defeat Zarkon. This is then going to give us an opportunity to see each of the paladins. And I'm sorry, I hate that word. I cannot.
I'm going to go find out what that means, because that's a class in D&D. It's like a champion. It's like the
basically pinnacle, you know, the champion of Voltron thing like that. But it's champions of the realm is basically it's you know, but it just I don't know. It just sounds really weird. Just call them the Voltron Force or something. I don't know. But anyway. So by the time we get to that, we each, you know, by, like I said, episode 4 or 5 or 6 of season 2, we get to see each of them on their own mission. Like, Pidge is off somewhere doing something, and Hunk and Keith are collecting crystal whatever the hells, you know. And we even, I don't know if this is them trying to get back to a lost culture, but episode 7, Space Mall. Like, really? We had that to go was... to... I enjoyed it.
That's another... Go ahead. Me too. Like, I liked a lot of these episodes, even the silly ones like that, more. My least favorite episode from season 1 is the one where they're trying to train the 5 of them by putting them into impossible situations, and it's not until the food fight at the end where they come together. Like, I hate that episode. I will just skip it. Like, Oliver will try to put it on to watch it. I'm like, no, no, son. Next episode, please. but that episode, I think it was just, there were neat things happening. It was about every mall trope you could come up with put right next to each other. And, I don't know, there was something special about it. I mean, they had a mall cop. I like that Coran went there and it was like, 10,000 years ago, this was a black market and he had to be all grimy. And he goes, and then there's the episode where he does find the black market with what they need to buy, and they go through that bargaining thing. Mm-hmm. I'll take 1,000,000 of these. I'll give you some pocket lint. I'll give you 10,000 of those. And then they're upping these. I mean, man, anybody who's bought or sold anything at a flea market or a toy collecting thing, anybody who's bargained has done that before. So there's just everything to relate to in that episode that I think it was more fun than it deserved to be as they go repair their portal generator.
Yeah, absolutely. I did really enjoy the Space Mall episode. but I think the three best episodes from season 2 are the last three, 11, yep. 12, and 13. Because we fought Voltron Legendary Defender, folks, it is not paced poorly at all. It's paced well. But sometimes in certain shows when I'm watching them, if I get to a certain episode, I'm like, okay, hurry up and get to the point already. With this series, I didn't have that reaction because the episodes flow so well and the story is told so well. Yeah. Now, there are... Go ahead.
Old school Voltron has this monster of the week feel, and perhaps the last 7 minutes of the show, it's like canned animation. Form, blazing, sword, boom! And then they jump up in the air and they cut it in half. And then it explodes in the background with the cool hero shot. They don't do that with this series at all. In one way, it feels slower because they aren't forming Voltron and destroying a monster every episode. But then it's always it's a connected plot through the whole series, through the whole episode. What do they call it? Series. You see, I watch a lot of BBC through the whole season. It's one connected storyline. So in one way, it feels slower because they're taking time to develop everything and build what they need to defeat Zarkon. They're very good. They're going after piece A, piece B, piece C. But then it feels faster because they're not, you know, 3 weeks don't go by between each episode.
Yeah, absolutely. I honestly think all cartoons should be on Netflix, Hulu, or wherever now instead of actual television because, oh my god, that's one of the greatest things about Netflix when they do series like this or whatever, any of the original series that they do, and they just put everything up immediately. You can watch it at your leisure. Like, I watched season 2, I think it was like, obviously... You know, like I said, we're recording this 2 days after it appeared on Netflix for me. I think I watched it within a day and a half.
Yeah, but Oliver and I banged out the first 10, 11 episodes in the morning and then the last two at night. We watched the whole season in one thing.
Yeah, some of the series I can't, not this specific series, but some of the Netflix series I can't do that with. I want to be able to pace myself on certain things, but with this one, I can see why you would want to do it that way, and because it's just such a good series.
There is something to be said though about letting it take time. We're watching the new Top Gear, which I can't remember the name of on Amazon, the Grand Tour, and that's a weekly episode. I kind of like that because Thursdays become special. My wife and I put our son to bed. Let's go watch Grand Tour and see the three dorks talk about cars. Thursday? I don't remember what day it came out now. Thursday, Friday, it was special because Oliver came home from school like, all right, boy, let's go. It's on. Voltron's on. Sweet, Dad. So it gave us a moment, but that was great. But my wife and I get a moment every Thursday when the new Grand Tour episode goes on to Amazon. I wonder how special it would be or how it would be different if every week Netflix released an episode and my son and I got to come home from school and said, all right, dudes, let's go. And, you know, we got to experience that 13 times instead of just one big time.
Well, you could do that yourself, you know, doing it 13 times without, you know, what I mean?
No restraint.
I'm just saying.
It's like putting a whole bag of M&Ms in front of me and telling me not to eat them all in one shot.
Oh, boy.
Self-control?
I think not.
That's why I have 105 Optimus Primes. It just doesn't happen. You know, you can't stop.
Good Lord. Yeah. So getting into the voice cast here, there are only a few names that I really recognize. Neil Kaplan as Emperor Zarkon, I recognize Neil. He used to be, he was at one point in time a voice of Optimus Prime, which that series just no.
No way, which one?
Neil Kaplan, he was, oh God, now you're going to make me look it up, aren't you? Let's see, animation...
Armada
no,
Energon?
The other one before that.
Beast Wars?
No, that was Gary Chalk as Optimus Primal.
Okay, so yeah.
No, it was Car Robots, Optimus Prime 2000.
So I've never even heard of that series.
That
Car
would,
Robots?
Yeah,
Probably Japanese only?
Yeah, it was Transformers, Car Robots. Oh God, I'm trying to look here. Hang on.
Yeah, me too. Thanks, everybody.
I will edit this out. But yeah, he was the voice of Optimus Prime in Transformers, Car Robots in the year 2000. And I could have sworn he was a voice of Optimus in one of the other series before that, but yeah, it was the Car Robots series. But yeah, I don't know. So, like I said, you got Neil Kaplan as Emperor Zarkon. You got Kree Summer as Witch Hagar, which,
yep.
If anyone doesn't know Kree Summer, where have you been, you know, between Drawn Together and Tiny Toons, and she was Max in Batman Beyond and all that. Kimberly Brooks is Princess Allura. Josh Keaton, as I said, is Shiro. Stephen Yeun is Keith. Jeremy Shada is Lance. Bex Taylor Klaus is Pidge / Katie Holt. Tyler Labine is Hunk. Lance and Hunk. I kind of got to like Hunk when the Spaceball episode happened because he shows off his chef skills. But Lance is by far the most annoying main character in this series.
Oh, I give that to Coran.
Okay, Lance is the second most annoying character in this main out of the main cast because they give him all the anime, like all the funny anime facial tics, and it's like, no, don't do that. I understand you're trying to go for a little bit of comedy here, but Jesus Christ, I do not need Lance being this love-struck, jealous idiot over Allura. Because there was a point where one of the episodes where Keith and Allura go off together because they think that's how Zarkon is tracking them. And they go off in this spaceship, and at one point they return, and Lance is like, wait, Keith is with her? And I'm like, no, dude, shut up. I'm just like, shut the hell up, Lance. Some of the other comedy characters I could do without.
A lot of the comedy characters I could do without, but yeah, okay. I mean, Oliver likes it. So I like, okay, I get why they put it in there, because it gets these little people that don't have an adult sense of humor yet. Okay, all right, fine. But I wonder if... I as the series goes on, I don't know how many seasons we're going to get, the more the better, that we're going to see these characters grow into the people that we remember. I mean, we kind of got to see Keith grow in season two. Yeah. And that moment where near the end where Shiro gets knocked out, he's like, boom, bam, Tae starts taking command. We got to keep him away from the Black Lion guys. Mm-hmm. And so I think Lance may be next. He might be the one who comes and grows.
Let's hope, because yes. Lance currently now, oh my God. I would assume, because it is a Netflix show and it is DreamWorks, I assume there's going to be a season three. I don't think they're going to leave us, you know. I don't know. I mean, everything I'm seeing here does not say that there's a definite announcement for a season three, but I would assume that there would be.
The toys recently came out. They've been fun. They're some of Playmate's highest quality toys I've seen, which isn't saying much. But if you're a toy person, I recommend spending $120 to get the Voltron. That fits together. That's a pretty decent figure. I did not spend that much because I'm not dumb and I watch sales and I buy things before street date. with Toys R Us has them mismarked because they're not actually in their computer yet. I do that kind of, but you know, it's a great toy. It's actually pretty good. They're mine. Oliver knows that he's borrowing them from me when he plays with them, and that someday they'll go on a shelf where we don't touch them. But you know. Yeah. No, we'll always touch them. I'm not that person.
There are also two different comic series for the show as well. Two comic series detailing events happening in between seasons were announced in January 2016, taking story ideas that were determined too outlandish and too epic to be contained in a 23-minute episode from the animated series. These comic series bridges the time lapse between seasons. The first series, consisting of 5 issues, is being published by Lion Forge Comics. Hey, I know those guys. They send me a Christmas card every year, or a little Christmas postcard thing. With the first issue being released on July 13th of last year, written by show head writer Tim Hedrick with Mitch Iverson, and it's illustrated by Digital Art Chefs. A special cover variant, issue number 1, was available at San Diego Comic-Con last year.
That's the series that Oliver and I have, but I think we don't have issue 5 yet.
According to this, the whole series will be collected in a graphic novel and was initially scheduled for December of last year, but got pushed back to January of this year. Actually, it's out now. Came out January 3rd. And then 24th of the... this coming week is when it's going to be coming, and the second series will be announced after the release of the graphic novel. So they're still working on that, apparently.
Sweet.
Yeah. Voltron Legendary Defender, I like it. I think it's really fun. I think it's really, really interesting. It's bringing Voltron back to where it should be. It's, like we already said, telling stories here that are well-paced at a well-interesting time, and they're taking their time, but they're also giving us high action. The action shots in this series, the shots in general for this series... I've been posting a few pictures on Facebook about just the background of shots because I got in trouble talking about Daredevil Season 2 before the entire world saw it when it came out. You know, so it's like I have to be really careful now. It's like I'm not posting a spoiler. I'm just showing you people this is a background image and it is gorgeous. But yeah, the backgrounds, everything about Legendary Defender is what I hoped it would be. Like we said, there's a few things with the comedy characters that we don't really like, but I mean, this is like, for me, this is almost like 1984 all over again. It's just a little bit different.
And we forgot to mention the giant elephant in the room that some of the showrunners from Avatar: The Last Airbender are the ones who are running this.
And that's why it looks so good, yeah.
And that's why it looks so good, and that's it has the visual sensibilities that it does, and why I think they do the fight scenes so well. I think, you know, a lot of people want to Michael Bay the thing and get in there close and they don't show anything, but you'll be watching a fight scene between two characters and you'll see, like, hey, that's a martial arts move. That's an actual Koshinage hip throw that those two robots just did. Wow, neato. So, you know, you need little things like that. And I think that's where some of the visual styles coming from. They take time to do those establishing shots. And I think that's also the anime influence. The good things that come from anime are those neat establishing shots. Voltron silhouetted because of the sunrise with the streaks of sun rays coming over the mountain. Like, man, that's gorgeous. Thank you for showing us that.
Yeah, that is very awesome.
Cell phone wallpaper. Bam.
That's right. So coming up on Tooncast Beyond, we've got a lot of stuff coming up this year. Over the next few episodes, it's going to be superhero stuff from the 90s. Eduardo and I are going to come back and talk about Spider-Man 94 season 2. We actually already did that, but something happened. That was during my problems last year with recording equipment, and that episode could not be saved, so we have to redo it. Yay! So we'll try to mimic everything and not, you know, reference anything from the lost recording. After that, we're going to be doing Spider-Man 94 season 3, and need somebody for Inside Out. I haven't found anybody yet. The person I did have, well, that's no longer an option. So yeah, that's what's coming up here on Tooncast Beyond. When's the next Geek Stuff Garage sale?
Probably looking at June 2nd to 3rd week of June. Depends on school, all that good stuff. Although I'm going to have a new baby then, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah, your other news, yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't really talked about that yet.
He's on the way. He'll be here May. And this is going to be fun because now it's been great pulling Oliver through those things that I enjoy and watching why he likes the things that I liked as a kid. Mm-hmm. And it's a perfect time to be a geek father. And, you know, I'm trying not to force him to like the things that I like. And I'm trying to let him like things that he finds on his own. That's a very deliberate thing. Like, he likes the Dino Trucks and some of these other Netflix shows that I don't really watch. But I'll sit and I'll talk to him about it, and he talks to me about it. And I think that the age difference is going to be such that instead of me watching Star Wars with Oliver, it's going to be Oliver watching Star Wars with his little brother, saying, "Watch this, kid, watch. Who's his dad? Who's Luke's dad? I got his..." And so I get to kind of experience those things from even a different angle, and it's a real interesting spacing between ages, and it'll be fun
so
to watch.
So Oliver's how old now?
Oliver is going to be 6 next Friday.
Oh, well, happy early birthday.
I know, right? And that's right about when I remember conscious memory really starting, so... it's going to be some good times.
Okay, and he's going to be... So there's going to be a 6-year difference between them.
Yeah, well, 6.5.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Means I'll be changing diapers till I'm 50 or something like that. I'm not ready.
Knock it off. Changing diapers till I'm 50.
40? Yeah, 40.
Oh, Lord. Well, yeah, 40. 40's not that far away.
I still have toys?
So you can pass them on to your children.
Yep, thereabouts.
Oh, crap. All right, you can find me at TF2andMike on Twitter. You can follow at Geekcast Radio on Twitter. Find us on Facebook, geekcastradio.com. Go check out Geek Stuff Garage Sale on Facebook as well. And Joe and I will be back at some point to do more turtle stuff over on the pullback. So we'll be doing that, and who knows what else we're going to be doing. I have no idea because I've got nothing but time at this point. So it's back into full-on podcast production.
And please leave comments when this gets posted in the Facebook. I'd love to hear from you, ask questions, engage in discussions. Yes, please do reach out. I like hearing it. I like hearing from us, from you listeners. Not us. Who's us? I don't listen to podcasts.
You really should.
I barely have time to consume the media that I do the podcasts about. I don't have time to listen to... I don't want to listen to somebody podcasting about a game. I want to go play the game. I have 80 exams to go grade right now, so that's what I'm doing.
Alrighty then. We will catch you next time here on Tooncast Beyond. See you later, folks.
Thanks for listening.
I'm back!